Check, check. Check, check. Uh-oh. There we go. Now it's working. See? We just avoided a catastrophe, folks. Welcome to Wheelchair Wednesday. I'm your host, Wheelchair Rick. T3, T4, paraplegic. Today we have a special guest coming to us all the way from the great state of Tennessee. But before we get to her, let's roll the intro. Welcome to Wheelchair Wednesday. All right, so welcome, Miss Elizabeth Perry, to the show. How are you? Yeah, no problem. Let me turn your audio up just a tad here, make sure everybody can hear you good. Now, before we started the show, I did warn you that sometimes we do have some technical difficulties that happen. We rarely just avoided one just to start. I was talking, going all crazy. You heard me, looking good. It all looked great. Until I realized that the audio wasn't plugged in working correctly, so then I had to hit a button and get it all working. But now we're good. We're rolling. Everything is looking good. It's sounding good. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm doing pretty good. Been looking forward to talking with you all day and glad that it's finally here.
Nice. That is awesome. We're glad to hear that. So the way that this works, I don't know if you've ever seen any, you know, episodes or anything. You said something about the intro, so I'm guessing you've seen something. We're just going to ask you 10 questions about life in a wheelchair, and you give us your best answers, and we'll go from there. This is pretty much about you, so whatever you want to share. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, so first question is probably the question that you get all the time, which is, how did it happen?
Well, I was 20 years old, and my boyfriend and I, at the time, we went out to a club, and there was like a costume party competition type thing, and it was 20s flapper themed. And so we went, and when I was growing up in my early teens and whatnot, I was pretty wild. Back in the day, we used to say that we kicked it pretty hard. And that's what we were doing that night. Needless to say, I was underage, and I was drinking at the bar. And afterwards, I've heard stories from friends that I was very under the influence. When I got to the hospital, my blood alcohol was a 0.23. So we were really having a good time. And on our way home, neither one of us could really remember what happened, but we went across four lanes of traffic. Luckily, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, so we didn't hit anybody. Then we hit into a telephone pole and went into a ditch. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly when I broke my neck, because I remember laying there just saying, help me, help me, and I couldn't move. And then I remember getting to the hospital, and I was like,
uh-oh, hello? What happened? We might have lost her there. Can you hear me now?
Accident.
Oh, nope, there she goes. Okay. I don't know if that was on me or you.
Anything I said? On my internet.
Oh, is it your internet's going in and out?
Yeah, it's probably my internet. It's 4 o'clock, it always does that. Little town, little internet.
Oh,
well, I went to Vanderbilt. I was there for about a month. Then they flew me to Shepherd, and I was inpatient for 2 months. I was on the ventilator when I got there, and within 5 days, I was off the ventilator. Then, of course, you know, there was the good times of getting over being dizzy and just learning kind of what to expect and deal with. This all happened in 2001, so rehab has changed completely. When I was in physical therapy, you were tired at the end of the day.
Right.
And it worked you pretty hard. About 15 years after my injury, maybe 10, 12, I went back to do the day program again. And it was like, it was the easiest therapy I've ever done in my life.
Cakewalk.
I was like, what is going on with you therapists? You're like not even being hard on these kids anymore. But that's what it was. And then, so before my accident, I was about to be living on my own. After my accident, I had to move back in with my parents. And my parents and I, we didn't really have a great relationship when I was a teenager. You know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do and not be told no. And so moving back home with my parents, that was a big adjustment. But it got us to be closer, and I learned a lot about my family and just being with them and being involved with my family.
Right.
So there were blessings.
Right, absolutely. And we're going to get to some of that too, those questions, and we'll talk more about that specific thing. But yeah, as far as the like the rehabilitation places becoming cakewalks and stuff like that. I know at Mary Freebed here in Michigan, the first day I woke up, the lady, I think her name was Amy, Nurse Amy, she looked down and she said, "Welcome to boot camp." And I thought she was like joking, but like they really did like work me to the point where I was like, I'm ready to leave. Like, I don't want to be here no more. This is, I don't want to learn how to live like this. This is crazy. But they do. They ship you in shape and they get you real fast to learn what you have to do because you can't spend a bunch of time there.
Yeah, there's only so many beds, and there's lots of people injuring themselves.
Yep. All right. Next question I have for you. Oh, so your level of injury, like you said on the thing, it's you said C4, C5.
Yeah, well, my injury was between C2 and C3, but it's incomplete, so I'm about a 5-6 ability.
Okay.
I always tell everybody I'm paralyzed from my armpits down, and I don't have finger dexterity.
Okay. Yeah, that kind
I
of
don't
makes
know
a
if I
little
could
bit
do it.
easier, I think. I
Yeah.
always say like
Partially, it's
chest
about
down.
sensation. You're
Right.
just from the
To
what down?
chest. Just like chest, like the nipple line. That's what we say normally. Let me ask you this question. Now, this is a little bit of a, it's a thinker because not everybody has the same obvious answer. It is, would you walk again if you could? Now, what I mean by that is if you could go back to that day in 2001 and live the life, the rest of your life, the way you had in front of you, the way you were living, you could do that, or you could stay where you're at today. But if you went back, obviously you don't have any of the knowledge, you don't have any of the, relationships, you don't have any of the stuff that you have now. You would just start over from then. Would you do that, or would you stay where you're at?
I mean, it's so hard to say that because, of course, I would say, heck yeah, I want to walk again. I want to go back to being 20 years old and, starting my adult life and my adult choices. But knowing the sort of choices and things that I was making at the time, honestly, I probably wouldn't even be alive anymore. I probably have all the people that I used to hang out with, at least six people at the top of my head are no longer living because of drug or alcohol choices.
Right.
So there's a good chance that I could have been on that list.
Right.
So I think for the good of the world, I'll still roll. No, I'm just kidding. No, but
Nice. I like it. No,
but plus,
it's.
like I said earlier, my family and I, we were not close at all. Like my dad and I could not be in the same room, and we ended up having to just the two of us live together in Atlanta for a month. And it changed everything and just really opens your eyes to what's important. And I know for a fact
Absolutely.
that if it weren't for my support system, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Right. For sure. I agree with you 100%. Now, this is a live show, as we've talked about. We have people that watch, and if they have any kind of questions that they would like to ask that pertains to the show, we will ask those live as they come in. Tom Conaway, he says, "Got it." I don't know if you know that guy or not, but he must be a friend or a fan of yours. And then Austin Tricker, good to see you once again. That's another buddy of mine. And Van Hagar, thank you for the like. And everybody else has liked and followed. Subscribe. Make sure you guys let people know what's going on here today. All right. Well, my next question would be dating slash married. How were things before? How are things now? Stuff like that.
Oh, before I was a master. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, had it figured out, huh?
No. Dating's been different. I was so young when I was injured, and I was 20, and I didn't really expect or know what to expect. And then I had a pretty serious boyfriend for like 4 or 5 years, and he lived with me at my parents' house. And I always tell people we fell in love over a 12 pack, and unfortunately, I had to quit drinking. And so sometimes things just didn't work out the way we thought they would because his choices were his and mine were mine. So we went our separate ways. And And I just kind of dated around for a little bit. It was really weird. You know, I did the online dating thing, but it was awkward to be, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm in a wheelchair. And then you get the terrible, oh, can you still have sex?
Oh yeah,
Those
that's the
terrible
first one they go
questions,
to.
you know. You're like, it really is not your business yet. I don't even know you.
Right.
So, you know, it's just kind of weird things here and there. But then I met my now. Well, we say husband, but we're not legally married, so I usually just say he's my other. But I met him, what was the end of 2013? And we've been together ever since. He's a firefighter and a paramedic by trade, so he's a
Nice.
natural, be, you know, wants to help, and he knows about the medical field, so there was no reason for me to have to explain everything that comes along
Right.
with being paralyzed, especially bowel and bladder. You know, that's always pretty embarrassing. So, I don't know, we just kind of it just smoothly went together, and then we were together a few months, moved to Oklahoma for a year, then we moved back here to Middle Tennessee, and 6 years ago we had a ceremony in Oregon, and now we are just trying to make it.
Nice. Yeah, I've been to Tennessee many a times. My other's family lives down there, so we go down there from time to time. Haven't been down there since my accident in 2019, though. So we're thinking about doing that. Traveling is like, I don't know, that's one of my questions that we'll get to on here, but like traveling is something where you either have it or you don't, or you know what I mean? You got to get used to it if you haven't done it yet to figure out what
Yeah.
works for you. But yeah, that's a question we'll get to. So you and your other now, you've been together with him for how long?
11 years in October. It'll be 11 years that we've been together.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In Michigan, that's common law marriage. If
Well,
you
you
didn't
know
know
what's
that.
funny? He's from Michigan.
Well, there you go. He knows all about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't have common law.
Right. Yeah. Thank goodness, right? What about your,
Yeah, because then.
well, and that's a big thing too about marriage is like as soon as you sign over something, you lose benefits, then you got to switch over this and you got to switch over that, then everything becomes one. Then it's, I don't know, I think it's more of a pain in the butt that way.
Yeah, that's why we chose not to get married and just have the ceremony. Because if
Yeah.
we got married with his income, I would lose. In Tennessee, we have the Choices Program, Choices Waiver Program, and that's what pays for my caregivers to come help me. And if I lose that, you know, that's a huge amount of money out of our pocket.
Oh yeah,
And
absolutely.
it's just not worth it, you know? So
Right. And that's how I feel too
it's just a piece of
is why
paper.
should the state, right? Why should the state have to be involved with anything? Why can't you just, have a ceremony and do it the way you want to do it and with all your loved ones and family around and celebrate it and then boom, there you go. Go on with your life.
Yeah, I mean, I got my name legally changed, so, and I just said that I was in a domestic partnership,
There
and
you go.
he had two kids that were still in school, so, you know, going to school with my last name being different, they wouldn't tell me anything. So it just made things hard, and plus it's neat to have a different last name, so
Right,
I wanted to
right.
be like everybody else, you know?
Right. Mrs. So and so. Well, instead of Mrs. Yeah. I'm guessing, yeah, Perry is your new name, right? Not your.
Yes.
There you go.
No.
All right. I had to ding. What about something you wish you could do now that you can no longer do?
Clean my house. I mean, I have amazing caregivers, but there are some things that I really would like to be able to clean by myself. Also, like stand-up dancing, that would be really awesome. Or
Yeah.
walking on the beach, but. And of course, being able to get myself out of bed and not have to meet strangers for the first time being naked. You know, sometimes
Oh,
you get
yeah.
new caregivers and you never even met them before, and I'm laying in bed and I'm like, well, hello. Nice to meet you. What's
Hi,
your
good to meet you for the
name? Here's
first
my
time.
body.
All right, don't know if you're going to stay or not, but this is what we do and this is how we do it. That's what I hated was explaining the
Yeah.
routine every single time. It became a bit of a headache. Yeah, that's caregivers. That's one thing is once you find a good one, you kind of want to hold on to them. If you can, obviously some of the companies right now are doing a lot of crazy stuff. But yeah, I mean, I feel bad for a lot of people that, and they live in areas that don't have even companies that can help them. So they just have to rely on
Right.
like family and, whatever they can get. But yeah, absolutely. I feel you with the whole getting up in the morning, trying to hurry up, take a shower, just getting around. Like, I used to be able to get up, get ready, get in my car. It would take me a half hour. Like, now just to get up and, like, into my chair, it takes, like, a half hour. Well, not into the chair, but you know what I mean. Like, into the chair, get your stuff on, get around, and it's like, oh, my gosh. It's just a pain.
Yeah, even with my best caregiver, I cannot get ready and get out of the house in less than 30 minutes.
Right.
Especially if I'm taking a shower.
What do you do for fitness?
I lift forks to my mouth and I eat.
There you go.
I'm just gonna... No, I really should do more fitness. And sometimes I get wild hairs and I'll do a little bit of like arm exercises, or I might stretch my legs once a month. But yeah, I totally need to do more exercise. But I mean, I never really exercised before. So just because you break your neck doesn't mean you're going to totally change all your habits and your outlook and everything like that. That's why, like, with school, college and whatnot, I've attempted college many, many times. And it's just, I do not like homework. I don't want to do it.
Hey, I feel you. I definitely, I had the right to go to college and I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do any of that anymore. Like, I'll figure out my own way. I want to be a rock star. And then I realized in order to be a rock star, you have to actually know how to do stuff cool. And I was like, I can't do all these instruments and play all every day. Like, my fingers hurt. And you just give up on that dream. And then you realize, what am I going to do now? And then life kicks you. But yeah, we all figure out a way. You know what I mean? There's always some path you were meant for. Nobody ever thinks you're going to end up in a wheelchair, though. That's one thing you never think of.
No, and I mean, I didn't even know anybody in a wheelchair, let alone really with a disability. Maybe a few old people, but like curb cuts and conversion vans and, you know, just all the different equipment and the needs that come along with having any type of disability. I didn't even fathom, you know, how big it can be.
Right. Yep. It's a whole nother world once you're in the chair. That's for sure. What about your pain levels? What do you deal with pain?
I'm pretty fortunate. I don't really have a lot of pain. Like, I definitely don't have to have my pain managed by a clinic or anything. The most pain that I really have is in my lower back and around my stomach. And I've had all the organs that I don't need are no longer in my body. So I know that if something's causing a problem, it's something important. And I've had all the tests on my stomach, and it's just something I realize it's just part of me.
Right.
And I love to eat all kinds of food. So it's either have a stomach ache or not eat the food that I like. And I'll just deal with the bellyache.
I feel you there. It would be better if all of our stuff wasn't, you know, so toxic to the body that's so good for it. Or, you know, that taste, the stuff that tastes the best is the worst for us, period.
Yeah. Let's just eat some pure chemicals. It makes you feel great.
Right. Absolutely. I was going to say, for more on that topic, catch me on the Rick and Rowdy Show late nights at 7 p.m. Now that was a joke. But, you know, yeah, I think a lot of the pain stuff, too, like you were talking about before, is like, I don't know. What do you do for, like, pain management for yourself? Do you do any kind of yoga or stretching or anything like that?
Sometimes I try to stretch when I'm getting ready, but I mean, I just take some ibuprofen 800.
Nice.
Or just whine like a baby.
Heck yeah. Hey, Van Hagar said, take my legs, but not my tacos. I felt that 100%.
Yes.
What helped you the most after your injury? What was like the biggest help, you think?
Well, I know that my sister, it's me and then I have two younger sisters, and the sister that's after me, I don't know what it was about her, but she just had such a calming presence, and I felt safe when I was with her, when she would come to see me when I was still at the trauma center. Like, it was like a relief. I don't know. She really, really helped me, even though, like, growing up, we were at odds all the time, and now she's one of my caregivers, she's one of my strongest supporters, and... You know, between her and everything that my parents did to help me be independent and have what I needed, I think that's really what the biggest thing was for me.
Right.
And then since I'm incomplete, 20 years ago, everybody was talking about stem cells. They're all the rage. They're going to make everybody better. So in 2007, Shannon and I, my sister, we went to China and I got some stem cells. And afterwards, if I would have come home and done like acupuncture every day and therapy every day, then maybe I would have gotten a little bit of function, like little, I don't even know if it would have been like usable function. You know,
Right.
everything that I got back was such a small little trace that I'd get one or two contraction and I'd be fatigued for days and they wouldn't feel it again. So that I think was my major solidification. Okay, this is my life. Because I would always say, when I get stem cells, when I get stem cells, and have these plans for when I'd walk again. But
Right.
eventually, okay, this is me. I'm done. And I've done a lot of like peer support and stuff like that. And one thing that I like to tell the newly injured is, okay, yes, we all want to walk again, but right now this is the body you have. So you've got to learn how to take care of it and make it work for you. When you walk again, you can look back on all your struggles. But for now, for today, let's just learn about keeping your skin safe. Let's learn how to transfer and dress, you know.
I love
And
that.
you'll know how to walk.
I'm gonna give you a round of applause for that, only because, a lot of people wait until they're 5, 6, 7 years in to finally say, you know what, fine, and they just like give up all hope, but then they crash hard. You know what I mean? Like they get all real depressed and sad, and it's like, I've always been kind of like everybody's glass half full, glass half empty, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, this glass looks like pee. Like I don't know about this glass. We should just let's concentrate on what's really going on. You know what I mean? Like let's focus on today. I just seen that recently. I thought that was funny. But no, for like that's I 100% guarantee, agree with you on that point of view where it's let's learn about the body you have now. Let's not think about what we can do. And also, if you think about, like what you're saying, like I'm gonna go get stem cells. Well, they're not, and after that, then I gotta go to therapy. Then I gotta do acupuncture 3 times a week. Then I gotta do, like, you're literally giving away your life, your time of your life that you could be having doing
Not
other
to mention
things.
cost.
Not to mention the cost, right? Throwing your money away for
Yeah.
something that's not guaranteed. That's,
Right.
you know what I mean? I don't know. I've always just found that fascinating. Like, wow.
Yeah,
Just
I'd
to.
rather live my life and enjoy my friends, my family, and kids, and all that kind of stuff than, I mean, I'm not a gym rat. I never have been like that, so I don't want to just go hang out in the gym all day and
Right.
exercise. Ooh.
Right. Hey, I'm with you.
I mean, I guess if I was seeing like progress and stuff like that, it'd be better, but.
Yeah, there's certain things like, when you first get out of your accident, obviously you're gassed. Like you have no energy, like you have no muscle left because you've been laying around all day in the hospital and it's just you feel weak. But when you get up and you get, you're able to go home and regain that strength, you realize that as long as you keep at it, you're going to have enough strength to do what you need to do during
Right.
throughout the day as long as you stick with it. I believe. You know what I mean? I mean, some people aren't so fortunate, though. I've talked to people that can't even move their arms around and do what we can do. So, that's another thing. I just, count my blessings and try to live every day the best I can.
Yeah, but like I said, when I was first injured, I was on the trach and then learning, to breathe on my own again. And I wasn't even strong enough to like scratch my nose. Like I couldn't even lift my hand to my mouth to feed myself for the first 3 months. I had to be fed. So
Wow.
just the little progress of getting strong enough to feed myself was huge. And then, but now that I'm getting older, like just living my normal life, I don't think it's enough to keep me strong. Like yesterday by 8 o'clock, my muscles just didn't even want to work anymore. I was
Right.
just tired. Like brushing my teeth was hard. So I don't know if it's because I'm older or getting older, had this injury for so long, but like I really, really need to start taking better care of myself.
I'm with you there too. I felt like that. I'm just like, you know what? I gotta stop eating crap. I gotta start eating better. I gotta start, you know what I mean? Actually moving around, doing what I can do to do different things. But yeah, I'm with you. I think we all could do a little bit better. But some of us more than others. I'm more of the one of the some of us are more than others. That's me. I need to hurry up and do something more. But I feel you absolutely. And that's, that's up to everybody. That's, you look in the mirror and you decide for yourself what you need to do.
Right, and some people, they might have other issues that are really just taking more priority over than being, super healthy. But
Right.
in the end, obviously, being healthy is what we should do.
Like they say, health is wealth, right?
I don't know. Health doesn't pay for a vacation to the
Right,
Bahamas. Like,
health ain't paying my bills right now. Right. Let me ask you this. What about your hobbies before and after? What did you do before, and did you keep with it, or did you switch it up? I mean, I know you're kind of
well,
young, but
I didn't really have a whole lot of hobbies. Like, I played softball, and then, but my hobby was really just socializing. Hanging out with people that were older than me, doing things that I should not have been doing at that age.
right.
And so after my accident, I didn't want to like start painting, or I didn't play instruments. So it was very hard for me. And even now, like, I don't really say I have hobbies. Like, I don't spend money on things that give me joy. You know what I mean? But my hobbies really are just hanging out with my sister's kids or watching kids grow up and learn. Like, I love child development. It gives me so much joy. Like, my job is a substitute, and
Right.
I've been doing this is like my sixth or seventh year doing it, and watching these kids go from kindergarten, now they're in middle school, or I've got this one class right now that I've been working with a lot since they were first graders. They're in fourth grade this year, and it's so awesome to see them. And
That is
They're like
cool.
my little friends. I love it. I
Yeah.
love my
You
job.
seem like a cool substitute. If I'd have seen you, I'd have been like, yay, we got Miss Mary.
Yeah, I mean, not to brag, but no, I love the
Right. Here,
kids.
I'll teach
They're
a
so
horn for you.
awesome.
There you go. There's a horn too. No, and I think, especially being kids, I was talking to my kid just about this too the other day, is to be even a teacher, a good teacher, even a substitute teacher. I've learned more stuff sometimes off subs than I did the regular teacher. You got to grasp kids' attention. You got to be, like you said, almost like a friend. Like you're telling them something they're going to want to know. And the more they like you, the more they pay attention.
Yeah, and I live in a small community, so there's only three elementary schools, and I sub at all the schools. So if
Wow.
I go to like the town square for an art show, there's quite a few kids that Miss Barry, Miss Barry, Miss Barry, especially since I've been doing it so long. So like, I love my community. It's great.
That is
I love
awesome.
the kids.
Heck yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What about traveling? We were talking about this earlier. What is your traveling like? Do you like to travel in a wheelchair?
I mean, I don't love to travel just because of all the crap that comes along with it. I love going places, but it's such a pain. Finding a hotel that when they say is accessible, it's accessible for me and a power wheelchair user that has a caregiver. Then, flights when you put your wheelchair under the airplane, that's always scary. It's a crapshoot if it's going to come up put together or not,
Roll the
or on
dice.
time.
Yeah.
And then once you get to your destination, there's usually not a lot of transportation options. You can rent a van, but that's like $150 a day. And I mean, Vegas was cool. I was able to use their like public transportation a lot, so that was neat.
Yeah, I heard they got really good like handicap accessible transportation there. I
They
mean,
have
of course
more
they will.
wheelchair taxis.
They got all the slot machines and all that. Of course they would.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the old people go, so they need wheelchair taxis, right? But no, I thought Vegas was pretty accessible. But one time I called a wheelchair taxi and it came right away, and the other time it was like, we can't be there for 2.5 hours. So, it's not always something you can just call and just do.
Right. Yeah, that's something that I found out here in Michigan. I live in Lower Michigan, and we found out that like there was only one company that was doing rentals, that was in my area, and there was only like two vans. And so it's like it's that was a crapshoot on just finding one when you needed it. This is before I had my van, of course. But yeah,
Do
it's
you drive?
yeah, actually, I when I got out of rehabilitation, they signed me up for driver rehabilitation. So then I had to go to a place called what's that place called? Not Mary Free, but the other place. What is it? Oh yeah, Origami in Mason, Michigan. And they put you in like a Dodge Caravan that's got, you know, all these big things. And before you, obviously, before you get that, they put you on a computer to make sure you have all the reflexes. And then they put you in the big van. Then you get to kind of go around the parking lot area a few times. Then they take you out on the country roads. Then they take you into the big city, the capital of Michigan, Lansing, which is, oh, I don't like that. But, I mean, it's a fairly, you know, simple program. It just depends on what you need as far as, you know, hands, accessories that they can give you, like different things if you need. Some people have to be strapped in, like to turn the wheel and stuff. So, yeah, once I did that, then I was able to get a van. But yeah, it all worked out pretty good. So now I can just strap in and go. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's,
me too. I drive myself too. And, I just stay in my wheelchair and drive from my wheelchair.
Yeah. Yep. So do I.
Locked down.
Do you have an easy lock then? Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I got. Easy lock system.
I had a
system.
Permalock there for a while. That was the most amazing thing ever, but they, cause I use a Permobil wheelchair. Shout out Permobil.
Yep. That's what I got. Shout out.
They used to have a permalock where you could push the button and then that bolt would just come down. So you didn't have to worry about getting high-centered all the time.
I need that.
Awesome. Yes, but they discontinued it because the mechanics at all the shops weren't smart enough to realize the exact way to put it in. Because if you didn't hit it just straight, you weren't going to lock down. So if your mechanic wasn't smart enough to realize that you had a counterbalance lockdown mechanism that's attached to the van.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think getting my permalock installed, it was probably like 16 hours.
Wow.
The different times I had to go. And so finally my dad looked at it and he figured it out that, you know, when I went over this bump, it changed the angle of the lockdown. So he counteracted that and he got it to work.
That sounds about right. A bunch of certified technical mechanics in a frickin' shop that specifies specifically for wheelchair lockdown vans spend 16 hours on something that dad looks at and's like, you know what? Give me a butter knife and a screwdriver. I got this. And fixes it. Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to go into all the problems I've had when I'm getting my van fixed, but let's just say one time the gas and brake control, they didn't put the screws and bolts back in.
Oh, heck no.
Had I known, I drove on the interstate. It could have fallen off.
That would have been
terrible.
It would have fallen off
and gassed it. I'd just be alone for the ride.
Did you hear that? You can't hear that right now, but I just need to tell my other here because she's here. Her whole thing fell off, babe. The bolts, everything. She couldn't drive. Almost. Like, she was on the freeway.
Well, it could have.
It didn't at the time, but just thinking about that freaks me out. It makes me want to go check mine to make sure they're stable in there.
Oh, yeah. I have a little bit of PTSD from that. Every time I leave when I get my van worked on, I'm literally afraid it's not going to work.
Yeah, that would be scary. What year is your van?
It's a 2016. This is my second van. So, okay. You know, it's still running pretty good, but I'm not really so much worried about my van. It's the hand controls and whether they're plugged in right or connected right, or they're going to just, I mean, about a year ago, I was driving 45 miles an hour down the road and my car just went into reverse. While I was driving,
I'd have lost my cookies. That's good. That's scary.
Yeah, there was a lot of, and then with the, there were no techs employed in my state that could help me. They were certified to work on my hand controls. So it took so long for the certification guy to be there that my warranty expired.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Green, which was $3,000.
Wow. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it nuts? It's crazy how the handicap world works, especially like you're saying, the mechanics on a van. Even now, like my van's a 2019, and thank goodness, I'm going to knock on artificial wood. Real wood is over here. Thank goodness that nothing bad's happened, right? Because like the only thing I've ever had happen was my ramp didn't want to come out, so we had to manually pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But besides that, it's been working pretty good, I guess. But we've had the ramp worked on and looked at 4 times now. So
yeah, does your battery die a lot?
No, thank goodness that doesn't happen.
Yeah, there for a while. Maybe it's the hand control systems that I use because I have, you know, zero effort steering and then.
I heard you got the zero steering or whatever. And then,
yeah. So basically if you're able bodied, you could literally steer with your pinky.
Right.
But for me, it helps it so with my weaker arm strength.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, we could get into the mobility of the, you know, these vehicles. Man, they're getting better and better, but it's crazy how it's they don't still can't figure that out barely. You know what I mean? Let alone how to fix wheelchairs. But we're getting there, and we got people that's in wheelchairs that are starting to learn how to do these things too. So I'd like to start interviewing some of those
companies over.
Right, right.
Like, there's a new hand control company from Germany, maybe, that they're trying to get over here. They're really good, but the problem is they don't have anybody to work on it right now.
Right.
So it's like, if you need a lot of serious hand control stuff, there's only like one or two companies that offer the equipment for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, the last question of the day I got for you, we've covered a lot here, but I think the most important question I would say would be, what would be the most important piece of advice that you could give to somebody who's newly injured right now?
Really listen to your body. And when the doctor tries to tell you how you feel, you've got to insist you know what's going on. Because especially if your sensation is messed up and you feel something hurting, like for me, if I have a pain in my stomach, I'll feel it one place, but it's really somewhere else. Like when I get a bug bite, like the bug bite will be one spot and then 2 inches over is where it itches. So in my body, when I have a pain, it does like that too.
Right.
So pay attention to your body. Don't let your doctors tell you how you feel. And then, like I said before, work with the body you have now and try to make your body now what you want it to be.
I like it. There you go, folks. That's Elizabeth Perry. Well, Elizabeth, we want to say thank you for doing the show with us. We're going to keep tabs on you. Maybe we'll bring you back for a throwback, maybe in a year or so. We always like to do that, see how our wheelchair family's doing. But stay with me. We're going to talk to you shortly right after we're done with this. Everybody else, thanks for watching. If you'd like to be a part of the show, please don't hesitate. Hit me up. Find me on Facebook. And like we said, here in a little bit, we're going to throw Elizabeth's links down. Make sure you go check her out. Give her a like and a follow. And we'll see you next time here on Wheelchair Wednesday. See ya.
Bye.